State Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald says he does not plan on taking up a new Republican bill to require voters to show a photo ID at the polls. A new bill was on the fast track through the assembly because supporters want something in place for the 2014 elections while Wisconsin's new photo ID law is held up in the courts. Our guest in this second half of our State Capitol Report is a critic of voter ID, and we'll get his reaction to the voter ID news. And we'll also discuss legislation that would limit early voting in some cities that is making its way through the state legislature. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 7:37 on this Monday, November 4th, and we will welcome your thoughts and reactions and questions on voter ID and early voting at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our guest is Scott Ross, Executive Director of One Wisconsin Now. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning, Joy.
So what do you make of the news that Senate Majority Leader Fitzgerald says he's not going to take up the Republicans' new voter ID bill?
Well, I think it's just another indication of just how far the lengths to which the current Republicans who are running our legislature in our state will go to deny legal voters their access to the franchise. I mean, the reason that Senator Fitzgerald said that he's not bringing the bill up is because he thinks that the Republicans will prevail in the lawsuits. And he believes that the bill put forth by the assembly would be weaker, and they wouldn't be able to deny enough people access to the franchise. So that's what that came down to.
Well, let's go into a little more detail here. The assembly modified voter ID bill would say that if you don't have a photo ID, you just have to say, well, I wasn't able to get one or something, sign an affidavit that says that you don't have a photo ID, and then you can vote provisionally.
Yeah, you get to you can, for instance, announce to everybody in the polling place that you're too poor to afford a photo ID, which is going to be a great motivator to get people out to the polls, people who are indigent but still should have a say in the democratic process because they're citizens of this state and citizens of the United States. You can also fill something out if you are unable to get an ID because of, say, you know, for instance, you come from the South and you're elderly and you're African American and you don't have a birth certificate, because again, under the Wisconsin voter ID law, it can only be Wisconsin issued IDs, unlike in other states that have passed voter ID laws. And I think that that's what really this comes down to. This is a partisan effort by the Republicans to deny people access to the franchise. And it's ugly, and it's undemocratic, and it's un-American, and I guess it's un-Wisconsin, if you ask me. And the thing about those votes, anybody who goes to the polling place under the Republic, under this new photo ID bill, which again, as you point out, doesn't look like it's going anywhere, it would be incredibly easy to throw out your ballot if you are, for instance, if the election came down to a recount. The rules are really, really easy then for your ballot to be thrown out. And, you know, let's just talk about this for a second. There are a lot of groups out there who have helped in this decades-long propaganda campaign to say that we have massive voter fraud in the state of Wisconsin, when all other evidence is to the contrary. And if you don't think that these groups, which are all funded by the Bradley Foundation, who is headed by Governor Scott Walker's campaign co-chair, Michael Grebe, if you don't think these groups are going to be taking every person who uses the affidavit and trying to prove that they're not poor or that somehow they were able to, could have gotten an ID, you're just joking yourself, because we have already seen these groups in a systematic effort for the last, in particular, 2 or 3 years of attacking legal voters, intimidating legal voters, and doing, you know, everything that they can to try and prevent people from accessing the franchise.
Well, as you pointed out, Senate Majority Leader Fitzgerald says that he wants to see how the current law, which is tied up in the courts, there's several lawsuits against it, how that pans out. He And you're saying that that his turning down this new effort means that he thinks that that the voter ID bill will prevail in the courts.
Yes, inevitably he believes either the state cases will, you know, with a conservative majority in the Wisconsin State Supreme Court, that the state cases will inevitably prevail in his way, and that he believes with the conservative United States Supreme Court that if the case were to go to them, that the federal case would again go his way.
Well, we just heard in the news that the federal case, federal cases underway. Help us sort this out. What's in the courts today?
Yeah, I believe it's the Advancement Project and the ACLU have a case, and their plaintiff is a deceased voter named Betty Jones, who was unable to get an ID because she came from the South and didn't have a birth certificate, and she was denied access to the franchise. And that's the central part of their case, that this bill disproportionately discriminates against African Americans and Latinos, people of color, and certainly seniors. And again, that's what this is all about. Joy, that's what this is all about. And I challenge, for instance, Speaker Robin Voss to sit down with a lie detector and say that voter ID for him is not about disenfranchising African-American, Latino, seniors, and students from being able to access the franchise because they vote Democratic. They don't vote Republican.
Yeah. And you say to him when he says, no, it's not, Scott, it's because there's the chance that somebody will vote twice or that there will be a voter fraud.
Well, I am neither a lawyer nor a mathematician, but let us talk about what the statistics are. Since the year 2004, there have been over 14 million ballots cast in the state of Wisconsin, and there are less than three dozen people who have been convicted of voter impropriety, and almost 85% of those are felons who, because they were on parole, were technically not allowed to vote and somehow participated in the process in a way that they were not legally allowed to. So this myth that there is massive voter fraud in the state of Wisconsin, which, you know, to Wisconsin Public Radio's credit, it's one of the few major media outlets that has not bought hook, line, and sinker the garbage about voter fraud being rampant that the Republicans have pushed out in a propaganda campaign for the last 15 years. Every time they say there's fraud, it's proven that there's not. And here's something funny, because, you know, J.B. Van Hollen, our attorney general, who's leaving his post after this election, has made prosecuting and proving voter fraud in the state of Wisconsin among his top priorities. You know, he put out a voter fraud task force, which actually ended up having its name changed because, you know, it didn't quite seem fair that you were just targeting voter fraud. I mean, there's, you know, voter suppression that goes on as well, as we know. And again, after he was elected, I think, in 2006, so after, what, 7 years almost, just a handful of cases prosecuted. And so I think Republicans should be asking, is it that J.B. Van Hollen is incompetent, or is it there just isn't voter fraud out there? You know, and again, like, there may be listeners out there who are like, wait a second, you know, I need a voter ID if I, you know, for instance, they used to say to purchase a video or go to the bank or something like that. And the thing is, Joy, is that those aren't constitutionally protected guarantees. Article 3, Section 1 of the Wisconsin Constitution protects the franchise and enumerates it as a right that is provided to people over the age of 18 here in the state of Wisconsin. And so the burden is so high. And, you know, again, for listeners who might be thinking, well, I support voter ID and you're calling me a racist. No, I'm not. I do not think that, given the propaganda campaign that's gone on, that an individual citizen out there who may think that voter ID makes sense to them is a racist. But I will say that the Republican politicians who are pushing this to disenfranchise voters, they are the racists. And in fact, they're you know, they are committing the only real fraud out there, which is partisan politicians manipulating the process to achieve their political goals.
You're also critical of a Republican proposal to scale back early voting in Wisconsin, or in-person absentee voting. We talked to the author of this bill on the State Capitol Report a few weeks ago. He wants to create, he says, a statewide standard so that all voters in Wisconsin are playing by the same set of rules, and a big city like Madison or Milwaukee, which allow extended voting on weekends and evenings, they have an advantage over smaller rural towns that don't have the staff to do that kind of thing. So he says, let's have the same hours in place for everybody. What's wrong with that?
Well, there's two different versions of that. There's Representative Dewey Strobel's bill in the Assembly, and then there's Mary Lott Ozick and Glenn Grothman's bill in the Senate, and the Senate bill just had a hearing last week. And it is absolutely appalling that the Republicans think that the solution to Wisconsin's ails is denying people easier access to the polls. I mean, Wisconsin, we are all proud of the fact that Wisconsin has the second highest voter turnout in the nation. Second highest voter turnout in the nation. And in fact, in 2012, in the November 2012 elections, 400,000 Wisconsin residents took advantage of early voting to cast their ballot. And in 2008, one in four ballots cast in the November presidential election was cast using early voting. This is, you know, again, it comes back to what is the intention of this bill. Now, there is a lot of nonpartisan voter activity that goes on out there related to, say, our churches. You know, with African-American churches, they call it souls to the polls. And this bill would specifically ban that. It would specifically ban polling places from being open so lots of people could come and just exercise the franchise. Oh, the bill lets you individually call and make an appointment so you can show up. But that is an onerous burden, not to mention the fact that, let's look at what the hours are that this bill, this big government bill, would do to local control. Say you basically have to close your polling hours before people get off work. You know, so you'd have to negotiate with your boss to be able to get to the polling place during work hours. And obviously that's something that's going to be a high burden, because a lot of bosses will say, well, I know under the rules I have to let you off on election day, but I don't have to let you off before election day. You know, and this is just what that is, an attempt to try and keep legal voters from exercising the franchise.
Briefly, though, Scott, what about the person who is in Marshfield or some other smaller town that does not have a town clerk that can keep the polls open for early voting on weekends or late into the evening? This one of the thoughts is that this is unfair.
I think that the converse. I think that the Republicans are the ones who want to change this law, so they have to prove that people are being harmed. You know, and so under their thing, well, if one person can't just go to their town clerk in Marshfield, we should deny tens of thousands of people in the city of Milwaukee or in Madison or in Green Bay from being able to go and vote early because one person. Again, this comes back to it's the same argument they make with voter fraud and voter ID. They say that because less than three dozen people have been convicted, we should try and disenfranchise 300,000 people that would be estimated to be disenfranchised under the state's voter ID law.
And why would the Republicans want to stop voters in Madison, Green Bay, and Milwaukee from voting on extended early voting hours?
Well, in concentrations of cities, you tend to have more African Americans, Latinos, and students. And those people tend to vote not for the candidates that Robin Voss and Scott Walker and Scott Fitzgerald push out there. I mean, let's not kid ourselves. A lot of this stuff came after the fact that the Democrats won Wisconsin once again in the 2012 presidential election. You know, they have a streak going back to 1988. Tammy Baldwin getting elected to the U.S. Senate certainly made them angry. And they remember that, you know, the Democrats haven't lost a U.S. Senate race in a presidential November since 1980. And so this is just about trying to disenfranchise voters because they don't like the way voters vote. And we remember that, you know, one of the first things that Scott Walker said after the Governor Walker said right after the election was he was out with his biggest donor, Diane Hendricks, the billionaire from Beloit. They went out to the Ronald Reagan Library and he was, you know, broadcast saying we need to end same-day registration in the state of Wisconsin, something that, you know, I think the number is like one in six voters use same day in order to cast their ballot. Now, they backed off of that, but there's a whole slew of bills that have gone through the legislature. Some have been signed into law, but most haven't, and people need to remain vigilant.
We're talking with Scott Ross, executive director of One Wisconsin Now, about a new voter ID bill in the state legislature and also a couple of bills that would limit early voting in Wisconsin. And we're welcoming your questions and your input on this, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. This is the State Capitol Report. I'm Joy Cardine on the Ideas Network. This is our State Capitol Report. We are talking about voter ID and early voting with Scott Ross, executive director of One Wisconsin Now. And we have many callers, so let's take your calls. Fred in West Bend is with us first. Hello, Fred.
Yeah, good morning. Yeah, I am for voter ID. I think that anybody that has a way to make it to the polls has a way to make it to get voter ID. And if they can't, I think we should make a way for them to have voter ID, you know, even if we mail it or whatever. But the voter ID to me is important. And as a veteran of 4 years, I had to carry a voter ID all of that time. I have to carry it in my driver's license. I don't know for sure, but I'm guessing that most other nations in the world don't let somebody vote just on their saying that I am a citizen.
All right. Thank you, Fred. Well, what about that? He wants to make it easy for people who don't have a photo ID, but he still thinks they should have one.
So. Well, a couple of things, and I'm glad he called. You know, first of all, like, there is a rigorous standard that you have to go to register to vote. You just don't need a photo ID, but you do have to prove, you know, prove your residency. You have to prove your who you are. You just don't need a photo ID to do that. And the second thing that I wanted to say was, you know, we have to look at how we are as a state compared to, say, Indiana, which is where photo ID was ruled constitutional by the U.S. Supreme Court. And I want to just do a parenthetical on that. And that is, one of the three judges who ruled in favor of voter ID came out like a week and a half ago and said, you know what? If I had known then what I know now, I would never have voted in favor of this voter ID bill, because it is about denying people access to the franchise. But Indiana was decided it was allowed to be in place because they said that there was plenty of access to be able to get photo ID. And in fact, in Indiana, 99% of the people had photo ID already. We are absolutely ill-equipped to administer a photo ID in the state of Wisconsin. We have one-third of the open DMV hours that Indiana has. Our state is 50% bigger square footage-wise. We have about the same voting age population. But for instance, in Indiana, there's 124 DMVs around the state of Indiana that are open on the weekend. There's one in the entire state of Wisconsin. And I'd say, you know, if, like Fred, you know, if we want to do something to promote voting, why don't we do as he said, you know, about other countries? Let's have weekend voting like every other industrialized country on the planet has.
Thank you, Fred. We'll go next to Sarah in Eau Claire. Hi, Sarah. What do you think?
Hi. There's been a lot of talk about discrimination against certain groups of society. And I'm wondering, wouldn't you consider the assumption that the elderly, the student population, the minority population, to assume that they don't already have IDs, and then to assume that it would be below their capability level to get IDs, wouldn't that in turn be discrimination and racism?
Scott? You know, I've been hearing that argument for like the last couple of months. It seems to be a new argument that's out there, that saying that people don't have voter ID is somehow racist. The fact is that there was a study done by the University of Wisconsin, Milwaukee, that showed that for people, you know, in terms of people of color, Latinos and African Americans, the simple fact is that 50% of Latinos do not have the necessary photo ID, and 50% of African Americans do not have the necessary photo ID. And when you're talking about African American males between the ages of 18 and 24, 75% don't have the necessary photo ID. So I get, because again, this is a contentious issue, mm-hmm. and people are fed a lot of propaganda, but the facts are what they are. Photo ID has been put in place by partisan politicians who want to manipulate the process to keep certain people from voting.
Let's take a call from Cody in Oshkosh. Hi, Cody.
Hi there. I appreciate Mr. Ross's passion, and I agree with him 100%. I think the Republicans have shown their true intention, and if it isn't voter ID, they have these other laws like whether your name, my wife, for instance, doesn't have a birth certificate. We've been trying for 2 years to get one. We are very capable people, but we can't seem to get her birth certificate. Now, she does have an ID right now, but if she didn't, she couldn't get another one. And if they passed a law like the one in Texas where if your name doesn't match up just perfectly, they'll deny you anyway. So thank you very much, Mr. Ross. Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you. It's nice to hear somebody say they agree with me 100% of the time, but I assure you, if you do that, you're not so smart. two things. One is, we just saw, like, for instance, there was just news over the weekend that the Texas voter ID, that the former U.S. Speaker of the House, Jim Wright, was unable to vote, the 90-year-old, because of his he didn't have the proper photo ID to vote in Texas. One of the interesting story that I remember from back in 2004, our then Governor Doyle talked about, you know, he vetoed photo ID three times. Very brave thing to do, especially in that environment. And he talked about his mom, who in 2004 was 88 years old, and she was in a nursing home, and she didn't have the ID to be able to vote. And she had been voting for 67 years. And I believe his mom was the first elected woman in the state legislature. That's and right. She would have been denied access to the franchise under this bill. And I think that we, you know, I think that we have to think about that. These are people who want to vote and who should be able to vote and who could be denied the right to vote.
Brian in Williams Bay. Hi, Brian.
Hello. I'm a handicapped person, and I was denied the right to vote, you know, to because of not having a voter ID.
Where did that happen, Brian?
It happened in Jefferson.
Well, you don't have to have the voter ID now, though, do you, Scott?
No, technically you do not have to have voter ID, but there were stories about because the confusion, you know, that there were people. But that's the thing, Joy. I mean, we always talk, you know, we talk about photo ID, you know, and these efforts to suppress the vote in inner cities where they create long lines and chaos on election day so people go home instead of exercising their right to vote. The simple fact is, and the Republicans know this, the biggest deterrent to going out and voting is confusion about what you have to take. And that's part of what this whole effort is people don't know what's going on. They're confused because they hear nonstop bills. And I think that that's part of this, you know, elaborate conspiracy to deny people of color, students and elderly their right to the franchise to achieve the Republicans' partisan political goals.
We'll have to leave it there. We're out of time. Scott, thanks very much for being here.
Thank you.
Scott Ross, Executive Director of One Wisconsin Now. Thanks to Bill Martin's Christy Taylor for producing and directing this program. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.